Hello, everybody. It's Gareth here with a special edition for you. So we're just dropping this in to the regular podcast feed, as we think you might enjoy it. It's an illuminating conversation about presence, about federated social media, and also why climate issues matter in technology podcasts. Now, this was from the Digital Planet reunion, and we held it at the end of March. So Digital Planet is a show that ran for many years on the BBC World Service, and a load of us on the team used to work there. And to mark the one-year anniversary of the end of Digital Planet, it was actually one of our listeners, Richard Lucas, who arranged a reunion. So a whole load of listeners, or former listeners, or present listeners to this podcast came along, as well as me and producer Anya. We also had Galen Boddington and Bill Thompson, who both were regular voices on Digital Planet. And of course, we have Galen over here on Somewhere on Earth. So we're all sitting there, and we're in this wine bar. It's a Thursday evening just before Easter. And we decided that we thought it would be fun to have a little chat about what stories Digital Planet might have done over the last year if we'd still been there. So, as I say, we're in a wine bar. It's Daly's Wine Bar in central London. And by the way, they took brilliant care of us and the drinks there are fantastic. So if you're in central London, do go to Daly's. And we're in this room. You will, by the way, hear a little bit of noise, a little bit of music in the background. This is getting kind of to the middle of the evening. It's just before a four-day bank holiday. So it's all going on the other side of the wall there. So you'll hear a bit of music spilling over. But nothing that's going to distract you from this fascinating conversation, which begins with producer Anya, and really just thinking about what Digital Planet might be reporting on if it was still on air.
I was actually thinking about this week because I did a search about the West Africa submarine cable. We did a special about it this week, and I really couldn't find a programme on the BBC that had covered it. An odd little article here and there, but the tech programmes were leading on e-scooter batteries this week.
There you go. That's why we need Somewhere on Earth telling those stories, what I sometimes call the unloved stories. But the internet went dark for millions, probably hundreds of millions of people.
About a dozen countries. Yeah.
Across West Africa. So that's a really good example of the kind of thing that we'd have done on Digital Planet, and thankfully we can do because of Somewhere on Earth. So, Galen, you know, wearing your hybrid presence hat and, you know, all your interests in things like home working and what have you, what do you think you would have been talking about across the table from me on Digital Planet had we still been doing that one?
Well, yes, I think that we came, you know, Digital Planet, we were running all the way through the COVID pandemic and the lockdowns. We were at home. We had our mics. We went for it immediately. We carried on straight through. And, of course, we miss seeing each other across the table. We miss seeing, because we do quite a lot of eye contact and hand signalling.
We do.
Around seconds left, etc., you know. So that was a bit more complex, but there was a very good set. We went very fast into a good setup, and we got praise, actually, from the BBC for moving that forward. So, but as some of you will know, my work has been very much based in the living body, the living, sweating, breathing body, and how we integrate with technologies. And particularly, I've been working since the early 90s on telepresence, on remote stage connectivity, which has been, first of all, in my realm of dance, the dance sector. So connecting dancers across the world, that we could work together web across time and space. Yeah, completely came to me from when I was very young. It was the Apollo landing, of course, that first, you know, we can see and hear them on the moon, yeah. My dad wanted me to look at all the engineering and the rockets, but I was obsessed by the fact we could see and hear we could see and hear them, and I wanted to know if they could see and hear us, yeah. So I think it's been very interesting to see the shift that's happened through the COVID pandemic, and I think we would have talked more about that in the flow. What I call hybrid presence, this whole area of virtual physical blending that I've been working on for so many years, which has taken so long to come into play, and actually we were all forced into it during the COVID pandemic, which of course wasn't the greatest. You know, the ultimate research group was a negative scenario. But I was looking, I've been looking a lot at what has happened since and how much we've held into a more hybrid present scenario. How many, you know, workers across the world, 67% of workers really did enjoy this possibility to work at home. Mm. Still many people, up to 30%, 33%, are still doing a part home, part working, going into work, commuting scenario. It's a lot better for mental health, that people are dealing much better with their lives. Some companies have put the clapper down and said back in, you know, 4 days a week, back in 5 days, but most of them haven't actually, because it's proved that productivity has gone up about 16% due to this actual not having to do the commute every day, being able to actually diffuse your life across many areas, you know. But I think more interesting than work is the social side. Yeah.
Yeah, well, tell us about that then, because yeah, that's where it really does unlock itself.
It really
it?
Does, because I don't know if any of you in the room do yoga. And yeah, great. And how many people do it actually online from home now? Because apparently 67% of yoga is done at home now. Not, and we've seen gym, of course, gym memberships have gone down. So, you know, not so many of them. But it's a massive increase in fitness and yoga in the home. Yeah.
And Glenn, are we seeing that going on with any kind of wearables, for instance? Because you can imagine just wearing haptic gloves or, you know, having some kind of bio sensors or what have you that could make it a shared experience.
Area, which is actually probably the most advanced hybrid presence area in the world, where the sports stadiums now today, architects are designing them for hybrid scenarios. So yeah, we see the I think during lockdown there was like karate, all those things went online. They were doing their expertise in different in their homes, full of wearables, covered completely, and doing the competitions, whatever. And that is coming in rapidly. So you have sports stadiums even now, but definitely more in the future, where there will be large physical audiences, but there will be also large virtual audiences. And some of the competitors will be there physically and others will be there virtually. And this very fluid mixture, I mean, it's quite complex design procedures of event design, you know, in that sense of really working out the experience for the virtual audience and the experience for the physical audience has to be very carefully integrated, because you've got to try and make it good for everybody, you know. Yeah. So
and you know, lag-free and stuff.
But even more simple things, just to say, like, most crematoriums have now, you know, they went online during dinner hybrid for funerals. That stayed in place, yeah. Right. And recently for my mum passing, we had, you know, 100 people came live, you know, there with us. But we had 30, 40 people online watching the stream from 10 different countries, which was just wonderful, because there's so many of her friends, her artist friends, actually all over the world.
And the
you
tech
know.
All works
yeah.
out as well.
Yeah, it worked well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, incredible. I suppose for my two Pennethworth, I think I'd have probably at some point banged on about the continued migration away from some of the legacy social media platforms and, you know, the various views about, you know, the Fediverse, and some people, you know, you speak to about Mastodon saying, oh, I tried it out, didn't really get it, but I think rather misses the point. But I think the moment I got it was, and I just realised that whenever I wanted to, if I wanted to, I could just port my entire social graph from one server to another, and it just seemed simple but incredibly profound. And it made me think that in a matter of just a few years, people will take it for granted that they can just take, you know, the friends and the contacts and the content they've spent years investing in and building up, and just move it from one network to another. And I, you know, and it's a story that's been rumbling on probably for at least about the last two or three years, but I'm sure it might have come up at some point on Digital Planet. And Mr. Bill Thompson, you have thoughts on Mastodon, don't you, and how it's kind of more than just a story about social networking.
Completely. I think we misunderstand what is going on with social networks if we think about Mastodon as being a replacement for Twitter or an alternative to Threads or stuff like that. What Mastodon relies on an underlying protocol called ActivityPub, and that's what allows you to share digital assets, which may be messages, to other people, and to have those messages, those digital assets, made available to other people who subscribe to them. But there's a lot more you can do with that. And ActivityPub actually underlines a whole load of alternative ways of doing things like file sharing or photo sharing or almost anything you might want to do The use just to send short messages to people is actually a very simple and straightforward application of a much richer and complex environment, which is about putting people in control of their online environment, allowing them to make connections and to share where they want to, and to set rules for that sharing, which they can enforce. And the idea behind ActivityPub is you can build on top of it an alternative to the billionaire-run, corporately owned networks, and get away from the idea of having a billion-person social graph. Nobody needs a billion people on the network, frankly, into something much richer and, I would say, stranger, but also that has much more potential to emulate the granularity of day-to-day human life, where, you know, there's a bunch of us in a room chatting to each other. Yeah, we should be able to find that way of doing it, but also we can share photos, we can share ideas, we can share thoughts. So I'm much more interested in the potential of ActivityPub as a way of building an alternative to the linear controlled internet than I am in Mastodon as a particular application.
All right, nice one, Bill. Any final thoughts from the rest of the panel?
I have one small thing.
Ooh, Mr. Thompson.
So you asked earlier about what would we be doing on Digital Planet if we were there now. Well, I'd like to hope that we'd now be called Sustainable Planet, and the entire focus of the whole show would be how technology is screwing the environment and how we can do something about it, and reporting on those initiatives that try to do things differently, or reporting on the problems that come from the massive investment in energy use and therefore carbon output of training, Gen AI models, or all those different approaches. There are enough stories about that to fill almost every news outlet every week. And it would be nice to have a space where we could do that. And those are the sort of things we would have picked up on and amplified. And by now, they might be part of the mainstream dialogue.
No, it's creating that flow, actually, that we were able to, in Digital Planet, you know, go back to something a year before, flow things through month on month, you know, follow through like the development of a social network, follow through the development of a hybrid presence, you know. And I think that that's a wonderful feeling, rather than just... looking at the next gadget.
And I also think it, from a news organisation point of view and knowing how these big news organisations work, a lot of the managers who decide on the content in the main news shows and the current affairs shows do pick up on what other programmes like Digital Planet are doing or used to do. And I can really see a gap there now that they're not being educated, they're not being informed, because we're not there to do that. And I think the mainstream media, as Bill was talking about, clean tech, green tech, sustainable tech, that is really missing, and I can see a huge gap there.